All right. Acts, the fourth chapter, 21st verse through the 30th. I'm going to try to clear a good portion of this out today. We'll see what happens. It says, the council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priest and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. And this is what they said. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. Verse 25 says, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through your ancestor David, your servant saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city for Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, all the people of Israel were all united against Jesus. That's a lot of folks. Your holy servant whom you anointed, verse 28. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, Lord, hear their threats. Give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Say with me, representing Jesus.
Representing Jesus.
Representing Jesus. So again, a miracle has been done at the front door of the temple. The Jewish leaders are having their service, and a man that they had been accustomed to seeing in a certain condition has now been healed. Amen? And the leaders don't know what to do about it. They don't like it because they thought, again, that they had gotten rid of Jesus, only to find out that killing Jesus made their problem much worse. Why? Because now several of the representatives have the Spirit of Christ. Yeah. They have now the Holy Ghost. And they're going around town doing what Jesus would do. They multiplied their problem. Amen? And they're causing a group to grow. And this group is rapidly growing members and spreading throughout the land. And this group is called the church. Amen? So the leaders of the religious government don't know what to do about this problem. And so what they decide to do in verse 21 is simply, it says, the council then threatened them further because that's all they could do. Mm-hmm. What you need to understand here is this threat is big. Because it's coming from the highest authority figures in the land. This is like the President of the United States calling you into the Oval Office. Mm-hmm. With all of his military advisors, all of his military commanders, and threatening you by saying, you better make sure this is the last time you represent Jesus. That's how big this is. The Sanhedrin, they are the leaders of the nation. Amen? There's nobody higher than them except for the Romans that they're under. Amen? So this is huge. All right? They're saying you keep representing Jesus and it's going to be all bad. Amen? You keep doing what you're doing by the word of God. You keep serving God. You keep looking like Jesus. You keep telling the truth no matter how many people agree with you or disagree with you, it's going to be all bad. We're threatening you. Later down in Acts, we will see they actually put some teeth to this threat. The disciples, the apostles, go through a lot of things just because of who they are representing. Now, some of us have not seen that level or that degree of persecution. Amen? But you do experience it on many levels. Maybe your friends that you hang with feel free to do certain things, and you will only go so far. Mm-hmm. You have godly boundaries over what you do and what you say and how you act. And they don't like you because of that. Because it shines a light on what they're doing. Amen. Or maybe you decide, if your parents and your mothers decide to raise their children with certain godly boundaries, and those mothers schedule an event, an outing, and you don't get invited, and you notice. Why? Because of the way that your family acts in public, and the way that you do things, and the way that you the boundaries you set for your children. That shines a light on what they're doing. Amen. They don't feel comfortable with that. They don't invite you to the outing. Amen. You and your family sitting at home. Okay? Or maybe, more commonly, maybe you deal with this at your job. How many people are dealing with some things at the job? Amen. Your boss tells you to do something that's completely and totally morally and unethical. Uh-huh. And he threatens you. You know how to end it really subtly. But you get the very loud message. Amen. You go along with the rest of the team or else. You know, there's a chance that you will not get that promotion. There's a chance that you will be bypassed on certain things because you decided that you can't just do anything any kind of way because you have godly boundaries. You represent Jesus Christ wherever you are. Amen. So, you know, maybe one day they decide they're going to have severe layoffs, but you find out you're the only one that got laid off. We're going to get rid of this whole company. Everybody come back to work with you. What happened? You decided to represent Jesus. You made a stand. Amen. Not too long ago, I remember where I received threat after threat. Within the church, it what blew me away is folks was calling me and sending me emails and text messages from other states. People don't even go to the church. What are you doing? You can't do this. I stood against homosexuality and they called me. Amen. That's what they did. Some of them that were actually in their lifestyle and some of them that were sympathizers. Mothers who had children who had gone a certain way. They didn't understand how to deal with it. This is going to get messy, Pastor. You need to stop this. Amen? I caught a lot of flack for that. Then years later, things have changed. I'm still representing Jesus. Amen. Jesus is still the same as he was then as he is now. He's still taking care of me. Amen. We've made some changes, but I had to learn some things. When you represent God, there will be trouble. However, that trouble don't change God. It does not change who he is. Amen. So as believers, we deal with persecution. And I want you to see on this next phrase here. The council then threatened them further. Everybody say, but. I want you to see something here. But they finally let them go because they did not know how to punish them without starting a riot. We deal with persecution, but now let's take a look on into the other side here and see what sometimes is at the heart of those who are persecuting you. Uh-huh. What the believer must understand is that persecution comes, but the persecutors are not all powerful. I need you to catch that. Persecution comes, but the persecutors are not all powerful. What we see here is they couldn't figure out a way to punish him because they were concerned about starting a riot. If you are a man or a woman of God and you are being persecuted, the fact that this is happening should let you know something about your enemies. They could just leave you alone, but why don't they? Think about it. This is the key, people. Your enemies are more than likely more afraid of you than you are of them. Somebody needs to hear that. Most times, I want you to hear this, people, the motive behind the persecutor is fear. Yeah. I'm going to expose this. They may disagree with you. They may dislike you. They may be spiritually ignorant of certain things or unaware of certain things. They may not recognize or agree with the truth. But underneath all of that, is the fear of losing something. The fear of losing some control over something. The fear of missing out on something. The fear of change. In this verse, what we are seeing here is the weakness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council. They are religious people. But their religion is a religion that can be swayed by the masses and the opinions of others. And if that's the case, that's not really religion. That's just being political. Think about it. If you are in a religion that is more concerned about pleasing tons of people than pleasing God, then all you're really doing is politics. They're afraid. Which makes me wonder, when you look at what's happening here, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, they were technically the leaders of the crowd. And they were technically the ones that were supposed to control the crowd. But what we really see here is that the crowd was really controlling them. What we need to understand is that persecutors may look very intimidating at first, but they're really just afraid. A true Christian will represent Christ if they have crowd support or not. If you decide to cast aside what you really believe because of pressure from others, you're really just being a politician. That's not being a Christian. Okay? When your convictions are up for sale, depending on how many people agree with you, that's not representing Christ. One of the reasons why Christians have been losing their influence in this country is because we keep flip-flopping on our representation of who Jesus Christ is, and we cave in because of fear of people. Further down it says, for everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. This guy has been seen in this position for decades. So they don't know what to do. It's something has been done here that they cannot ignore, as I've said before, because there's an undeniable miracle. And so the people will retaliate if we go too hard on these apostles. You see what's happening? So what's happening is they're politicians. They go around looking holy, but they fear people more than they fear God. We need to understand that. Now I want to look very briefly for a moment at what I would call the Christian support group. The Christian support system. Verse 23 says this. So let's back up. They ask them, by whose authority have you healed this man? They tell them the truth, by Jesus Christ. They go out, send them into another room for a minute. They the Sanhedrin meets and they have a meeting and they say, what are we going to do about this? Because they've performed a notable sign. They come back out, they threaten them further to try to intimidate them to not speak. Amen. And then after all of that persecution of people getting in your face and flexing, huh? Making a big show of it and doing whatever they can to stop ministry, to stop your representation of Jesus Christ. I want you to see what happens with Peter and John. As soon as they were free, Peter and John returned, say this, to the other believers. Oh! Who's their support? The other believers. And they told them what the leading priest and elders have said. So the Jewish council has all their people. They have all their folks and they have all their gang members. Amen. But the apostles also, they got some folks. Amen. And the people that they have are the church. Amen. So here's a question. When you are being persecuted, when you are dealing with hard things on your job or in your family or people are coming against you, when you are being persecuted for standing up for God and you happen to live to tell about it, who do you run to? Who do you run to? Who are your people? What's the crowd or who's the crowd that you report to? Who is your real support system? Let's just say that it is by God's design for this particular week in December. From the foundation of the world, he has already decided this is going to be persecution week for everybody that's a member of TLC or attends TLC. Let's just say that he has decided that this week will be the week that all hell breaks loose. And it's already been determined. I wonder how many of us would call each other for support. How many of us would run back to our non-spiritual friends and our old hookups and our numbing extracurricular activities? The comforts of our food and the comforts of our old habits and the comforts of our old people. I wonder how many of us would just decide to pray. I wonder how many of us, have prayer partners in this church.
Amen. I have one.
That will support you to push through persecution instead of falling back on what you used to do and who you used to do it with. When the heat gets turned up, who do you go and give the report to? Who do you turn to? Who is your support system? This is really actually a Christian test of character. You will know if you're really a part of the body of Christ by when trouble comes, who you decide to call. Where do you find your comfort? As soon as they were free, they returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priest said. Amen. When you get in trouble, saints, what kind of people do you turn to? Believers? Some of you look unsure. Now let's see what the church does. This is what happens when you go to the believer's support group. Verse 24. When they heard the report, when the believers heard the report, instead of focusing on the threats and the issues, all the believers, say believers, lifted their voices together to God. And they said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, creator in heaven, of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them." When they left the persecution meeting, people, the first response was to get with the church and worship God in prayer just for who he really is. Sovereign Lord here means absolute master. Amen? So the early church realized that God, first of all, created all things. And that God is superior to all who oppose him and to all who oppose his people. Are we certain that God is above everything? Mm-hmm. Are we certain that whoever comes against us, God is more, that he's greater, that he's bigger? Mm-hmm. Do you hang around people that reinforce that truth? That's the question. Not only that, in the prayer meeting, the support group, the church does this. They go and get scripture. I want you to see the atmosphere here. They could have gone to some other places. They could have ran away. No. What they did is they went back to the believers, to the folks that were in the same battle with them. Amen? And they got support from each other. Mm-hmm. And then they prayed, spoke the truth about who God is over the circumstance, and then they brought in scripture. Verse 25 says this, "For Lord, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through your ancestor, our ancestor David, your servant, saying," oh, I love this, "why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans?" Why, basically, did people even decide to fight against God's people? How pointless is that? How futile is that? How foolish is that? Notice that Peter and John walked right out of persecution and right into a praise party. Do you see what's happening here? When you're down and you're dealing with certain situations and somebody is coming against you and you got trouble on every side and you go and you want to go call Shaniqua? No. No. If Shaniqua don't know God, bless her heart, she can't help you. Amen. She don't know scripture. You're not going to get any support from her. Amen. So what they did, they took the scripture. And then it says in verse 26, it says, "The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah." Verse 27, it says, "In fact, this has happened here in this very city, for Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed." What's happening here is the leaders of Israel and all these other elements, all these other people stacked on top of people came against Jesus Christ. In prayer, the early church reminded themselves of Old Testament scripture. And David recorded these events long ago. And they knew enough word to recognize that their situation was similar to what David was talking about long ago. And what did they do? They pulled scripture into their situation. So they applied the word of God to their circumstances. You gotta watch what you say when you're in trouble, people. You gotta watch what you confess with your mouth. You gotta watch what you say. I mean, there's a point when you get real and we understand that we're dealing with things and we're having pressure on top of pressure and folks are ganging up on you and all you're trying to do is just be like Jesus and then they don't like it and you're getting persecution for all that. But watch this. What's coming out of your mouth at that time? Who are the people that are talking in your ear? Are they bringing scripture to you? Are they reminding you that, hey, David said this is going to happen a long time ago. Don't trip over the situation. Don't worry about it. God has got this under control. You got to be careful. Amen. We are living in treacherous times. This is a war. Okay? So you cannot go team up with people who will not put any ammunition in their clip. That's dangerous. You're getting out on the field trying to take out some things and they just... Yeah. They can't do anything. They don't know the word. They don't know God. They will not bring you into an atmosphere of praise instead of worry and doubt. You see the difference here? Who are you hanging with? Who do you run to? Who are your people? The enemies were stacked on top of one another to fight against Jesus. Sometimes when you're going through, the situation looks like everyone's fighting against you. And you are the only one who's severely outnumbered. It looks just like the whole world was against Jesus Christ. The whole world. Enemies on top of enemies. And he still got up. He was still victorious, people. Amen. With all power, thank you. With all power in his hand, he's still victorious. You have to pull that scripture, that word, that truth, that reality of what happened with Jesus into your situation, whatever you're dealing with. I know people are telling me that some of the stuff that they're experiencing on their jobs is getting crazy. Okay? You mentioned, you know, anything about prayer. You mentioned anything about standing against a certain kind of ideal. And they mark you. We know, now we know who you are. Well, I'm glad they do. Amen. But the truth is after you come from all that, there needs to be support. And where you get your support from is key. Amen. Just like they didn't like Jesus, they may not like you. Amen. They may not agree with you. Verse 28. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. What we need to understand, people, is no matter how many people come against you, no matter how many situations, how much persecution you're dealing with, the bottom line is this, and Peter's just reiterating this, everything was determined beforehand according to God's will. Amen. We call this in theology the invisible hand of God. You cannot always see when he's moving, but you sure enough can tell his results. Amen. The invisible hand of God is always in control of everything. And this is what it really means here, people, in context. And this is what kind of blew me away. Because we are in Christ, no matter what our enemies do, no matter who they are, no matter how many of them they are, guess what, people? Because it's according to the will of God, what he determined beforehand, these people are actually working for God and they don't even know it. Settle that in your spirit. When they come, you work for Jesus, don't you? Isn't that interesting perspective? How much confidence does that give you when you're dealing with situations, knowing that, as in Romans 8:28 says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, is not like we're out here just on some island. He doesn't know what's going on. Exactly. Amen. He's deeply, you have a heavenly Father. Amen. Close, near, dear. I don't leave my children out there for nothing. What do you think God's going to do with you? Amen. He knows all about it. So he's very near and dear, and he causes all things, say all things, to work together as a plan. Woo! For God, for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. So all of the negative stuff that you experience, all the stuff that's going wrong, all the circumstances are flipping out and nothing seems to be lining up. Huh? All the pressure that you experience from other people when you decide to live holy, when you decide to live for God, when you decide to speak your mind and tell them, well, actually, I don't agree. Huh? All of that stuff, all it does is it works for our benefit. It works for our good. Why? Because what happens when the people of God allow the circumstances of God to make us pray more? What happens when we pray more? When those things cause us to study more? When those things cause us to pull away from the world more? When those things cause us to trust God more? We get the benefit of everything that God has decided. And if that thing brings me to my knees where I end up praying more, then you better know good and well that God's going to come through. He's going to come through. The benefit is maybe sometimes he couldn't get my attention before. When everything was easy. When I wasn't dealing with nothing. But these folks in them caused me to pray. These folks caused me to look that word. What does that word really mean? These folks caused me to really have to trust God. These folks caused me to lean. I'm leaning before I go to work. I'm leaning before I deal with my neighbors. I'm leaning on God. Huh? I'm actually living. In Him we live, we move, we have our being. Why? Because now I'm so focused on my help. My helper. My God. Before, I just went to church.
That's true.
Before, I just attended and hung out every now and then and clapped my hands. That was a nice song. That was great. Good message. I think I passed it to somebody else. It really wasn't for me. But when I got in trouble, when I started dealing with such situations, when people decided they didn't like me because of my stance, now I have to lean. I have to lean, people. I have to lean. Amen. I never prayed like I was praying when they first told me I was going to be a pastor. I prayed, I screamed, I hollered, I was with God, I yelled at God. What is this all about? What are you doing? I was very, you know what I'm saying? Some people would say, well, Jamie, that was just a little irreverent. Listen, I wasn't talking to God hardly at all. You know, several years before I got the notice, and then it was like, okay, so now I'm teaching children. Now I'm, you know, so all, this is starting to snowball. You know, and then the sharks came and the enemies came and the folks talking about you came and all the opposition came. And I want you to know we had some real good knee time during those days. It was the plan of God. He knows what it's going to take. He knows what it's going to take. You know, I heard preachers talk about it and said, you know what? God will provide everything for you. And what we do is we tend to push that to the positive side of what provision looks like for us. Yes. Provision looks like for me, no headache, no stress, no problems. Everything is paid. I can buy whatever I want to buy. Everybody loves me on Facebook. I have 1,000 friends. I'm good. Okay? Yeah. But guess what God will do? He will also provide what you don't like. Oh. Because if He's a good God, His provision is not lopsided. Especially if He's dealing with human flesh and He knows good and well, you know what? I could give you this, but you ain't ready for that right now. You're not talking to me. You're not communing with me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow some crazy folks to get hired. I'm going to allow some interesting neighbors. When I tell you I had a neighbor on 108th, that I had to pray about. She kept, did I tell you about this? She kept letting these cats. Remember the cats, Barbara? I know you had to pray too. I determined I was going to buy the BB gun. And as long as you keep breeding, I'm just going to have target practice in Oakland. I was going to shoot every last one of them in the eyeball. You know, I'm graphic. That's how bad it was. She had like maybe about 30 cats and they just all night long. And the bad thing is you can hear when they were producing. And so you're just sitting there in your mind, that's going to be another problem in a minute. God had to tell me and teach me how to calm down, pray about it. What happened? She moved. She moved. And I moved too. Now, it wouldn't have been terrible if I took matters in my own hands, stressing out, shooting caps and cats. That doesn't look good, you know, right before you start pastoring. Okay? God knows what we need. He will send what we need. Amen? Give me Psalm 118. This psalm here is really about the second coming of Christ. But what we can do here, and this is what I want to explain to us about being persecuted, dealing with hard times, dealing with certain situations, and pulling scripture, pulling support, pulling, you know, the truth of God into you pull from the kingdom. The word of truth down into the earthly realm to where you benefit. Even though situations are not the way they should be, you have a kingdom experience in spite of what they are. You understand? So what we see here in Psalm 118, just like Peter and John in the church, you know, at Acts 4, we can apply the words of Scripture to our situation and get encouragement from them. Just like God gave the victory to Jesus Christ, we are in Christ. We can get the victory. Amen? The victory has been given to us. We've already won the war. We keep getting stuck in these battles. Amen? So, Psalm 118 says this, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Why? "For he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." Verse 2 says, "Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever." He's being redundant because he wants you to understand the character of God in spite of what we're dealing with. Amen? "Let them that now fear, let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress." Not when I was having a good time. Listen. In distress. Distress was allowed, people. You see this? "In distress, the Lord answered me and set me in a large place." He's talking about Christ and everything that Christ experienced. Amen? Christ did not get around these things, people. Amen? I heard a preacher say that God does not exactly cause you to get away from the storm. What he does is he allows the Christians to ride the storm. They ride on the storm. Amen? So verse 6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man." What can man do to me? Unto me. Amen? "The Lord taketh my part." Are you seeing this, people? "With them that help me. For therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me." Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to agree with you. People are going to get an idea of who you really worship and who you serve, and the enemy does not like that. So what you have to realize is that even in spite of that, God is going to allow you to see victory in that situation. Amen? Verse 8, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man." Verse 9 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord to put your confidence in princes." Who's that? Rulers. People that, if this one gets elected, then I have a better time. Come on, people. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. People will make promises all day long. Only God really can deliver. Amen? All right. And here we go. Verse 10. "All nations," they were stacked up on them, "compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them." Woo! "They compass me about." He's surrounded. "Yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them." Verse 12 says, "They compass me about like bees." You can't get away from a swarm of bees. You're completely and totally surrounded. "They are quenched as the fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will destroy them." What he's talking about is there's such thing called a thorn bush. Thorn bushes, when they are ignited, they flare up really, really big. They're like almost like natural fireworks. Okay? So you light a thorn bush, it's like, but guess what? It dies down just as quickly as it flares up. Some of us need to get the right perspective on what persecution is really doing. It may flare up. It may get real big. It may look very intimidating. I don't agree with you. I'm going to take your job. Yeah. Your family members, they don't agree with you. You get a cute boyfriend and you love him and he's so nice to you. And you say, "But let's live holy." And then he's like, And you realize that, guess what, people? That's a form of persecution.
It is.
Why? Because it's for Christ's sake. I decided we're going to live holy, and you decided we're going to do something else. And now all of a sudden it's not working? What's up with that? Where are you going? Why are you going? I'll be back. Where are you going? What happened to our relationship? I thought we was here. No, we weren't really here. We were some other places. We wasn't here. That's the truth. Amen. And here you go. If your religion is such to where your convictions are for sale, just because somebody ain't gonna be with you no more, then again, you're not a Christian. Or that's not being Christian. Let's just play it safe. That's being a politician. You're dealing with people and not really serving God. It's not really about God. Amen? Oh, I see some very hung down faces. Maybe I shouldn't have touched that part. Yeah, I see some people are like, amen, amen, amen. I mean, come on, we've all done it. Let's just be real. We've compromised our values. We've compromised the truth of the word that was preached on Sunday. Walked right out and completely acted like it did. We never heard it because we want to hold on to our boo. Listen, people. Verse 13 says, thou enemies, thou hast thrust the sword. That's the enemies, not God. But thou hast thrust sore at me. The enemies have thrust sore at me that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength. And I love this. And my song. And I was dealing with some pain a couple of weeks ago, realizing some situations that really, really hurt me and really broke my heart. Then I'm riding in the car and I'm just, you know how you, I have a lead foot to a certain extent. Y'all pray for me. But when I'm not feeling good, I'm a little down, I drive like your grandmother. You ever been like that where you're going, but you're really not going, like your foot is just lightly touching, because you're feeling down, you're a little depressed. Something that you were hoping for didn't come through, or you thought somebody was cool and you found out they're not cool. Ooh, and I'm telling you, that thing hit me in my heart, and I was just like, ugh. And I'm driving, and little Paisley's in the back, and she just starts out of nowhere. Talk about the Lord is your song. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. And she just kept doing it over and over. Our God is. She don't know any more than that. Our God is greater. I'm just stronger. God, but he bitches is higher than any other. Our God is greater. And I said, that's right, baby. She said, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than. And we're singing harmony after a while. What? God's my song. I didn't make that up. That's true. That's how I was feeling. God sent my reminder in the back seat of my car and said, wait a minute. I don't care what folks do to you. I am your God. I will help you. I will hold you. I will keep you. I will keep you. There was a man. No, I'm going to wrap this up. There was a man who was an old evangelist, and they came to him and they said, this country, they said, if you don't stop preaching about Jesus, we're going to kill you. And he said, but I have eternal life. Okay, fine then. We're going to take all your stuff. We'll take all your money. You will have nothing. We will strip you of everything. He said, you can't reach my inheritance. Come on. He said, my inheritance is not down here. How'd you get to heaven? How do you do that? My inheritance is not moth and robbers and, come on. You know, that rust can't, my stuff can't even get rusted. That's correct. You can't break into heaven and take my stuff. How'd you get past God?
That's right.
Alright, fine then. We will ruin your reputation. You will have no friends. I'm telling you, we will strip you of everything. All of your relationships. He said, but he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So even if I have no friends, I still have Jesus. We will send you to, you know, some far distant place. And that's what they did. On the road, they tried to send him to some far part of the earth years ago. And he died on the way there. He never made it. Older guy. He died on the way there. But this is what they said. He was preaching to the people who were who were traveling with him. Preaching to the guards. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't stop him. Persecution came, but he already knew who he was. You see what I'm saying, people? Acts 4:29. Let's finish this up. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Notice that they didn't ask to get out of trouble. Okay? Notice that they didn't pray. Say, Lord, make it easier.
Yeah.
No. They asked for more boldness. The ability to preach the word. And then they asked for miracles. They said, God, confirm what we're saying by your miracles. There was no Bible back then. He said, so listen, God, we're going to preach it and then we expect you. How about that? We expect you to do something big. We expect you to do miracles. Lord, do more miracles. As we go forth in your name, let us be bold, knowing that when we speak, you will back us up. Amen. Do signs and wonders, God. Shake the doubters from their foundation. Remember I told you about miracles? When something happens where people are just kind of perplexed, what's happening is their foundation has been shaken. So he said, shake the foundations, Father, by doing miracles that confirm what we're actually preaching. Our job is to believe that God can back up what we preach. Some water, some plant. Quit waiting for the conclusion of the matter all the time. You just get in there and you represent Christ and you tell folks the truth in love. Amen. And you let God work out the time frame of when that thing comes to. Are you hearing me, people? Amen. So many times when I've preached to somebody or said something to somebody, they came back years later. Jamie, you were right about that. You were right. I just really needed to surrender to God. I didn't want to hear you at that time. I didn't want to hear what you were saying. I didn't want to believe what you were saying. You were telling me to let go of this and let go of that and let go of them. You were telling me to trust God and that God was bigger with me now than all the rest of them people combined. And I didn't want to hear all that. I stayed in that place for years. Sometimes you don't see the result right away. But you got to speak, people. You got to tell people the truth. Even in persecution, they may snarl and look at you crazy, but you're waiting for them to grab a hold of what you got. How long did it take you? Huh? So we got to, you know, you got cousins and uncles, and you just don't say nothing, and they're going through, but you're telling the truth anyway. You speak the truth. Amen. Amen. God allowed something. He did a miracle in their life later on. The miracle didn't come right away. Sometimes I see it happen years later. And they come back talking like, oh my Lord, I didn't know. And now I'm trusting God. I got some people in this church. I preached you out of this church and you came back. Got uncomfortable. I don't like it. I don't like what he's saying. I wish he would shut up. 2 years later, I don't know what happened, but God saved me. You just don't know. Quit waiting for the credits and the screen to go black and all the people that, you know, that produced the movie and you see the final end. No. Trust God to do the miracle. Speak the truth. Amen. Here's a little incentive and then we're done. Matthew 10:32-33. Therefore, the one who confesses and acknowledges me before men, as Lord and Savior, affirming a state of oneness with me, that one I will also confess and acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Verse 33, this is Jesus speaking, people. But the one who denies and rejects me before men, that one I will also deny and reject before my Father who is in heaven. That's some very solemn words from Jesus Christ. Amen. King Herod, Pontius Pilate, they all tried to stop Jesus, but it didn't work. The Jewish council tried to stop Peter and John, but it didn't work. All it did is cause them to go to the other believers, charge up, and ask God for more boldness. Yeah. Are you seeing that? Yeah. The early church had an understanding of something I think that we got to struggle with here, people. They knew how big God was. They know how big God is big. And I think sometimes we exalt our situations and our issues and our problems and the persecution that we deal with being Christians over God. Amen. They pray for more boldness. They didn't run from the fight. 1 Corinthians 4:1-9. Paul says this: I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you. You see the assurance there? Now that you belong to Christ, you see that assurance there? Now that you belong to Christ Jesus, through him, God has enriched your church in every way. Do you see the assurance there? You see what he's doing? He's just stacking confidence on top of confidence. Amen? With all your eloquent words and all your knowledge, this confirms that what I told you about Jesus Christ is true. What did you say, Paul? What did you tell them? Verse 7 says this: now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have everything we need right now. Right now. Amen? And in verse 8 says, he will keep you strong to the end, my Lord, so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Verse 9 says, God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And here's the little catch. And he has invited you to into partnership. Do you see it? With his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The rewards are coming, but they're coming to those who realize and work the partnership that they've been freely given. Do you understand that? So the rewards come to the believer, but it's also because they are byproduct of you representing Jesus. Do you see that? Because he's saying, I'm going to back you up. I got you. Wherever you may not preach every week, but some of y'all dealing with situations where you're in the line of fire. I know you are. I know you are. I hear some of the reports. You said, my boss said this, and ooh, they told me if I don't support them in this, ooh, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. You know, I lost all my friends because of what I said. Jesus Christ is saying, you're stacking up rewards. You're stacking up rewards. But the rewards come as a byproduct of your representing Jesus Christ. Amen? Can we all? Amen. Let's all stand.